which apparently found out John Constantine's first appearance is in Swamp Thing.
Nice.
I did not know that.
It's in volume 3.
I did not know that.
When he became the Swamp Thing, I found myself singing the theme song to the old cartoon Swamp Thing.
That's wild.
Yeah, I know, but that was the theme song. That
was it, really?
Yeah, like it was awesome.
I remember that.
Hi, and welcome to Probably Comics. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Link.
And this is our weekly segment, What's in the Box?
What's in the Box?
Where we talk about what we bought this week. Link, you want to get us started?
Yeah, man. So I don't know. I didn't finish it, but that's just because I was just borrowing Tyler and Thomas's copy of The Amazing Spider-Man, number 681. Mm-hmm. The gentleman loved it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh man, it was.
Yeah,
really
I liked
fun.
What I read.
It's still so good.
All the Johnny Peter banter is really great.
It's Dan Slott is just like, I mean, he's writing Spider-Man like no one ever has, as far as I can tell. He's captured Spider-Man's voice so perfectly, mm-hmm. and he can write every character that without. I mean, even the Mysterio.
Yeah.
And this is like, so it's so perfect. Like his voice so perfect. And this was a great little two-shot arc that
I like that they're doing those.
It was on purpose because the next one is a 6-issue arc and it gets set up here, sort of, because it's Dr. Octopus and you're not sure
it's
why
the new Sinister Six.
Yeah, because you're not sure why they did what they did here, but you will find out in the next.
So there's going to be a different Sinister Six than the one that's in this.
No, that is the new
that
one.
Is
yeah,
it?
This is the setup for the new Sinister
and
Six,
and that's what Octopus, Sandman,
Mysterio,
Electro,
others,
Vulture,
and Change Person,
Chameleon.
Chameleon.
Charming.
One of the original Spider-Man villains.
So, I mean, yeah, it's so good. I'm so happy that I did not stop reading, or that I picked this back up after Spider Island, because it's just it's been every time it comes out, I'm like, yes, and then I get really excited, and
it's a blast. It's really fun. It's I know you hate that word, Tyler.
No. I mean, you got. I said one thing one time, like episode 3.
Yeah.
Fine. It's super good. It's just taken out of context, y'all. It's super. It's Amazing Spider-Man. Super good. I mean, it ought to be good.
Cool. sorry. Hey. So, did everyone read Defenders number 4?
Yes.
Nope.
You didn't.
I read the first 2 pages.
This is really good.
This was the best one so far.
What? You got to be kidding me.
Oh,
that was
it's
awful.
Really good.
Like, how did you get through the first 3 pages?
Oh man, I thought it was really great.
That fucking girl, was so stupid. She was like, well,
yeah.
I don't have no self-esteem. I was like, this is horrible to read.
I think that gives you a little more
I hated it.
I really like
you.
It. I
you to understand
Doctor story.
Strange's character because he's you know Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, and
he's also
a
fucking
ladies man.
Ladies man.
Oh yeah,
pussy chaser. Man. Yeah. You know,
I mean, like, I just
damn right.
I just don't care. Like there was like I don't know. I didn't read enough of it, but I got to the point where it was that street magician, and I was just like, I'm out. I'm
oh yeah, well yeah, that guy. He decides to be a dick and try and ghost form and
yeah. No, I was like
blackmail
no,
Doctor Strange.
I'm out.
And Doctor Strange is like, bitch.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little like in between, everything's gonna pick up in the next issue. The machine, the wishing machine, which he wishes his old girlfriend back to life.
Didn't he do that early in the book? Because I think
yeah,
I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But he wishes her, and then
is that
Namor
the
at the
thing?
Huh?
Or the Omega thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the very end, Namor finds like underwater, deep underwater, a symbol. Exactly like this machine. So like we're finding out where it came from, what it is.
I'm out. I don't care.
That's cool. Yeah.
I mean
I thought it was fun.
It was okay, and I just don't care about any of the characters. And so
I love Namor.
See, I get my Namor fix
Namor.
Well other places.
I like Namor, and I love Silver Surfer. She-Hulk or where? Red She-Hulk, I can give
See,
her,
I like
you know,
Iron
I can,
Fist, but he's like
oh, I love Iron
yeah, Iron
I hate
Fist,
his character.
Red
in
She-Hulk.
This.
I can take her leave. Doctor Strange is pretty cool.
Yeah, I love him.
But really, I love the Surfer, and I just absolutely fucking love Namor.
I can't believe that. That's I was
I'm
I was fully
into the male Sandra.
I was fully expecting for everybody to be like, fuck Defenders, we're done.
No, I'm gonna keep reading.
No, I'm in.
Okay, I'm out.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's like my favorite book of all time, but it's got a couple more issues. Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 8. It just keeps on keeping on.
I don't understand how he does it.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's not like he's doing anything like crazy or huge, but he's building up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I really dig this version of the Scorpion. I think he's kind of cool, and he's really way more badass in the book than he looks.
It's such a good like, and every other book that that tells a story this way, where it's like super slow burn and it takes forever to get going, I'm always like, you need to get to the fucking point.
Yeah.
But with this one, I'm like, cool. I'm enjoying every minute of his like little origin story, and when he like gets in little fights, and then he like with the ringer.
Yeah, the
so
ringer
stupid,
and the kangaroo.
Yeah, and like, but it's really good.
But
he's fighting all these
up.
Like, it's fighting all these. He's fighting all these like low level Spider-Man villains, like to get ready for Scorpion, which is gonna be the, like the big fight.
And can I just say, I haven't read any of Ultimate Spider-Man ever, but that cover art can suck my dick.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's not great.
Fucking terrible.
And Gwen Stacy and Aunt May.
Oh man,
found
great
out
scene.
They were in Paris and they saw the newspaper was like new Spider-Man, and they're like, ooh.
And yeah, it's in French, and she's like, Gwen, what does this say?
Yeah,
like she's losing it, and like I like that he's keeping characters from the old. He's not just completely wiping the slate clean.
Yeah,
he's making. Miles is going to have to learn that his life is full of consequences.
And his powers came with great responsibility.
Yes, indeed. Man,
Ooh,
what a good book. Swamp Thing, number 7. Oh, man. Finally. I mean, like, we've been waiting on Alec to get fucked up by the green and, like, wrapped up. But
it was such a good, like,
in a giant Brussels sprout.
Very little happened. Like, if you think about it. Like, it was just him kind of arguing with the green and then making the green feel like an idiot a couple of times, and then being like, well, you just, like, spray that thing. I know I'm never going to be a human again.
Well, I really like the way that we're learning, A, more about Alec, and B, that this is going to be a very... Swamp Thing is going to have a very different attitude than he ever has before, because the whole point of Swamp Thing is it's a mystery as to what he is and why he's there and why he's important.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Now we know.
Alec has a motive.
Yeah.
And for the first time in a long time, the Swamp Thing is Alec.
Right.
And it's not this thing that thought it was Alec. It's now Alec Holland, and he has his own motives and his own reasons for doing things.
And wings.
Yes.
Yeah. And that new? That's new.
That's new.
I think
so.
That's
new. Though he can just basically teleport by growing a new body anywhere.
I guess that's true.
Really?
According to John Constantine and Alan Moore.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Yeah, can't praise it highly enough. This was the first week that I was like, yeah, this is better than Animal Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that every week.
Gentlemen, Adjectiveless X-Men, number 26. That's Gishler's run on X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, I still hate all the stupid vampire shit, but Deadpool is the first character you see when you open the book, which means I will automatically like it no matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
And but really, as far as this arc goes, this has been the best issue so far since it all started. I really like Domino and Deadpool teaming up. It's really great.
So that falls under the heading of better than last week.
It's better than the past like 4 books. Yeah. It was really good, and there was like there's this omniscient character, and we'll talk about him again later, who's in this book and in Wolverine, and we don't know who it is or why, and he doesn't say anything. He's just silent, and he's wearing a kabuki mask.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty creepy looking.
He's really creepy, and I'll second that. Like, I was so not... I saved this book for the dead center of my stack. I was like, I don't want to read this at all, and opened it up, and it was like, hey, Deadpool. I was like, oh, okay, I guess this will be okay. Yep. And it was really good. Him and Domino, little tete-a-tete.
You really live in your own little world, don't you?
Yeah, and he's like, wait, did I say that out loud? I thought it was one of the little squares. It was awesome. It was good.
You're narrating your own storyline again.
In the ongoing saga of Link getting roped in by a miniseries.
It's a mini? I thought it was an ongoing.
Oh, no, yeah. It was 4 of 4. This is Villains for Hire. Yeah, it was a good ending of a terrible book. So, you know, like, I mean, for bad miniseries, it was, okay, good. You know, we found out it was a whole big double cross by Misty Knight to finally take down Purple Man, and she was successful. Well done. Good job. And they,
finally,
like, took in
Purple Man.
Yeah, and they took in all the villains, like, all the villains that were a part of Villains for Hire.
That were for hire.
They they got him. So yeah, good job. Yay.
All right.
Who all read Winter Soldier?
I think it was just us, me and Link, I think.
Winter Soldier number 3.
For what?
I thought it was really great.
No, I doubt.
I think you're missing out big time. I love the art in this book, frankly.
Yeah,
the art
number
fantastic.
1 was really good.
Yeah.
I will give it that. I just don't care about the character enough to read a series.
You know, I didn't think so either, and I do. Not all the time. I think it's as much a Black Widow book.
That's what I was about to say. I really love Widow.
Yeah, she's great.
I just like it's not interesting enough for me. I mean, I pulled 19 books this week.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not interesting enough for me to pay like for it to be my 20th book. You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to. Yeah, I'm buying too many as it is.
Basically, Bucky's getting ready to help Dr. Doom, even though it says he's gonna fight him. But
well, no. That. Well, they do fight.
Yeah.
That was in Defenders where it said they were going to fight.
Oh, okay.
On one of the little things at the
bottom. But with Doom, Doom's about to be framed. Bucky and Widow are like, yo, Doom, you're about to get framed. Doom's like, fine, I won't kill you.
Fine. Yeah.
This time?
Yeah.
You're safe for now, Richards.
Bucky. But yeah, so it's getting pretty cool. I'm excited to see what goes on with the Doom bot. I'm glad that Lucia von Bardis is a bad guy again. I really like her as a villain. I think she's pretty sweet.
I don't have a whole lot of concept of her before this.
She's a cyborg.
Well, the
because Nick, I mean, they kind of explain in this book everything that happened.
I am interested in the Doombot himself, and that because this is one of the like, there's maybe like 10 that Doom designed to think they were Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so not even that it pretends to be Doom, it believes that it's Doom, and the whole time
do not talk down to Doom.
Yeah, and then she'll be like, go to sleep, because she has the codes. Yeah. And then like if it's voice activated to her, and he'll be like, I don't know why I'm.
That's awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
All right.
So
on a Brubaker run, Fatale number
three.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one reading it. Yeah. I have no fucking idea what's going on in this book. I made it 2 pages in, and I was already like, I don't even remember where we left off last time. Like none of this is sticking. I might buy number 4 and then read all 4 issues at once to see if it makes
sense.
So
is that supposed to be the arc? 4 is the arc?
No, I mean, I have no
idea. You're
just going to
guess.
I'm fucking clueless. There's like 3 timelines. They all have to do with the same woman, and that's about all I can figure out.
Yeah.
But because all the characters look exactly the same, it's hard to tell what timeline you're in because they don't tell you.
Yeah.
They don't fucking say anything. And so
context clues.
Yeah, zero context clues. And if you read the thing at the beginning, that's when I figured out it was 3 different timelines.
Yeah.
Was because the thing at the beginning in issue 2 told me. Issue 1 does not make it clear at all.
People really seem to like this book.
I guess.
On the internet.
I mean, not as much as some of the other ones we're going to talk about.
No.
But yeah, it's not all that.
Nor is it a bag of chips. Rachel Rising, number 6, Tyler. Mm-hmm.
This book is interesting because it has somehow managed to only come out on weeks that we do not record. And it did that 5 times.
Yeah. It's,
and so the 6th one was this week. Luckily, they had 1 copy at Kingdom. That's all they got. And nobody bought it until I came in on Friday. And he was like, oh, okay. Because like nobody knows about it. It's basically, it's just like, it's a horror book. The premise is like, Rachel is the main character. The beginning of the first issue, she gets strangled. Her eyes go all strangled, and she gets these strangle marks, and some muddy berries are in the sand, and she gets up. And she's not a zombie, but she's also not alive. So she's like, her pulse is like 6 beats a minute. Like, she's for all intents and purposes, dead. And it's her trying to figure out why she's alive, but on her way, she's finding that there's this evil girl. It's kind of like The Shining, like Red Room, I guess. This is an evil girl that appears to this little girl, and that evil spirit is convincing people to kill women and bury them where she was buried.
Mm.
So issue 6, just continuing that storyline. There's nothing real. I mean, it's going to be really good as a trade because there's no real distinguishable like difference between the issues. Like, I couldn't tell you exactly what happened in 6, but I know what's happened throughout. But I mean, it's really good. It's written and drawn by Terry Moore. It's fantastic. Every time it comes,
not Tony Moore,
Terry Moore. Yes, and it's very good.
Are there any relation?
I don't know.
Not that I know of, but I do follow both of them on Twitter.
It's black and it's black and white. It's extremely well drawn. I really loved it. I really am loving it. I encourage if you can find it to get it, but I mean, I can't. I've been looking for number two since it came out, and I haven't found it yet. Yeah. So,
I think Tyler and I read Green Arrow number 7, which is the first new of the new
see and I,
creative team.
I was gonna wait on you guys to read it so I could find out how it was before.
Yeah,
I
it's
went
not
and bought
it's
it.
Not great.
It's not good.
I'll read number 8.
Nope.
Personally, but no, it's not good. There, I mean, there is a great. Menage a quatre. He fucks three girls on a plane.
Triplets?
Yeah. Like, so.
But they're nefarious. It's nefarious. Like, they're.
The whole time.
So
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. It's like, you kind of want to be like, Ollie. Yeah. Ollie, please have.
Seriously.
Some common sense.
And his jump, like, his jump in logic made no sense. It was like, oh, look at these triplets. They're super hot. And they made me a tiny. They made me tiny.
They've got
arrows.
Lots of cool arrow
so
ideas.
I quit. Bye, and yeah. Then like, and then rides off into the sunset on his jet with the trip. Like, it doesn't make any.
The only thing I can
so
I can even imagine is that like he somehow knew, and he's trying to get at their dad because they keep talking about how their dad is who made them this way.
Yeah,
they finish each other's sentences. They speak.
They're like
the Stepford Cuckoos.
Huh? Yeah,
like
the cuckoos.
The Stepford
yeah,
Cuckoos.
The cuckoos. Yeah.
But they're way hotter and can jump around
know.
And stuff. I thought when
the
I first picked
are like
this
15.
Up.
I mean, they're not hot because they're underage.
Yeah. When I first picked this up,
I'm
I thought
15.
This was. I thought this was three black canaries for some reason.
Yeah.
I was like, that's gonna be cool, but no, yeah, this wasn't.
I just don't buy Steve Jobs as a superhero.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's not even that it wasn't written well, but
yeah,
I also don't care about the characters.
The
so
dialogue's
I'm
ultra
out.
Choppy. Yeah. Like, there's not even there's a couple things where scenes changed,
mm-hmm.
and I found myself needing a. Meanwhile, at yeah. Star Labs,
and the like whole thing, and know. The whole thing was like, and it's a woman writing it, which was super surprising because the whole thing is basically like Oliver Queen.
Oh yeah,
like oh hey ladies, let's
one
get
big
some. How about I stick my dick in your veg?
Yeah.
I was just like, dang, lady,
exploitation. Of
you
women.
Are playing in a. I mean, it's like she's trying too hard to be like a cool chick. You know, the
yeah.
girl that from your office that goes to the strip club with you. I'm cool with this. It empowers.
So she
me.
Wrote. Avengers Origins Luke Cage, right? Speaking of shitty comic books, and I'm like, oh no, it's creased. So and I'm like the Avengers Academy like warrior. I'm the guy that's always no, it's gonna be good again. No. I don't know, man. I don't know about this.
This was my last Avengers Academy issue.
Avengers Academy number 27. They even brought in a really awesome young super team, the Runaways,
mm-hmm.
which if you guys, like seriously, I've got four volumes of Runaways.
He
please
loves
read those.
I have three tradebacks I have to finish first.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. When you get done, please feel free because those See, are great. This was not good.
It was not good. And we're continuing. Why is it such a huge deal that some of these characters
are
homosexual?
Gay. You're right. No.
Why is it such a big deal? Like it just shouldn't be as big of a thing. I just don't understand. And then it's not that important about them. It doesn't add anything to the character.
Yeah.
It doesn't there's no conflict because of it. There's nobody that's on the other side of this issue.
Outside of them going, "I'm uncomfortable with it."
And on top of that, it's not good, and
yeah.
I'm not going to read it anymore.
It's too much dialogue.
It's just not good. It's hard. It's like a chore to read.
Is it still full of fart?
No,
I've never liked
That's
the art
bad.
In this book.
The art's not bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's certainly not bad. And I don't know who any of the characters are, and they're
mm-hmm.
not making me feel for any of them. Like, I don't want to know who they are. I know that one of them is White Tiger because she's a white tiger.
Yeah.
And that's all I know. Like, it's. I mean, I just don't care. I'm done. I'm out. Bye. I'm
Word.
Quitting in the middle of the arc, too. I don't even care.
Okay.
Don't care. Spoiler free.
So, this has been a year for an odd year for miniseries, and some of them have been, most of them have been awful. But every now and then, you'll get a gem. And Avengers Children's Crusade was a gem. Neither of you guys have read it, but you're going to.
Yeah, I'm really kicking myself in the shin for having not read
yeah,
it.
Yeah. The hardcover comes out. 2 weeks.
Okay. We've talked earlier, and I am not going to be a spoiler on this.
Please
I'm
don't.
Just going to let you know that this was great. They have wrapped some things up, but they've also left. It's not like they've left like a hanger,
yeah.
so like they're definitely going to do something, do more with this, but they have left the possibility.
Is it important to the AVX stuff?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
But I mean, we already know this, but you know, she's back
Scarlet
because
Witches.
Of this. So that's probably going to be important.
Yeah. She's the crux of a lot of X-Men. Is that her with Cloak?
No, that's her and Doctor Doom.
They're married.
Yeah.
Or betrothed.
I didn't get a good look at the cover. I saw Black Hood and I was like, oh, because
Doom's got her powers now, right?
I mean.
Well, he can like use her. And
he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
You're asking me spoiler questions.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to stop. I'm going to read it.
Yeah. No, but it was very good. It is good. It's self-contained. It doesn't really lead too huge into anything in the future, and it doesn't fuck up anything from the past.
Well, because the Young Avengers don't have a book. Right?
No, they don't. So I wish they did, personally. As long as Gage does not write it. Yeah.
Gage Heinberg. Is doing good on Avengers or X-Men Legacy, though.
Yeah, he's doing
great. I don't understand. Can I, before we go to Venom, can we talk for just a second about, we'll go to Tyler's Digital Corner?
Welcome to Tyler's Digital Corner.
There were two really big Image number ones this week, one of which we'll talk about much later, because we all read it. The other one you can't find. Actually, Link saw it and didn't buy it.
Sorry.
Hell yeah, number one. Hell yeah, number one is...
If I'd have known.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's basically... like this guy's dad was saved by superheroes in the Gulf War. Gulf War? Yeah, 90s Gulf War.
That makes me say hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Hell yeah. So he's in this prestigious college, or it doesn't even matter. He's a son and he's got superpowers, but they're not great. He's got like he's sort of strong.
Moist.
Yeah, and he can he's sort of invulnerable, but not like Superman invulnerable. Yeah. So the powers are getting watered down as they go generation to generation. And so it's him. We were just exploring his character. And then at the end, this like teen superhero squad like explodes out of nowhere and is like, everywhere else we've looked, you're dead. So they're like from other universe or something.
Oh.
So it's like the superheroes are, oh my God. So the superheroes are dying out and he's like one of the last ones. And so it's going to be like his story. And it's a good first issue. I really encourage if you can find it to get it.
When we're done, you can get this digitally though, right?
Yeah. I got it on my, on Comixology. Yeah.
Can you get that? Can you also get Peter Panzerfaust, which we talked about? I want you to show me because Comixology is different now, and I don't like it. So
on the computer,
mm-hmm.
I use it on my iPad.
Okay, well we'll talk. Yeah,
but yeah, you can get Peter Panzerfaust, and Peter Panzerfaust number two is next week actually.
Awesome. Ooh. Moving on, we have Venom Circle of Four number finally fucking done number 14. Dear Reminder, you saved it. Somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow it turned out okay.
You know how?
He's Remender.
No, because...
He wrote it.
Yeah, but because Alejandra wasn't in it, but for like two panels.
I was hoping
for most of it, and for a lot of it has a gun against her head.
And a lot of it was... And it was Flash. It was Venom. Well, that's what this book was about, was Venom. And like the final battle was like so throwaway. It was like, well, it's Venom, Red Hulk, Ghost Rider, and he's all one big thing. And he wins. Bye, and that was it. And then like the symbiote went back to Venom, and he reconciled with Cap, and so he's gonna be a Secret Avenger now.
Yeah, which is that. So this obviously happened before the last issue of Secret Avengers.
Yeah, and so so he wrapped it up really nice, and it was. I mean, I did not have high hopes for it either, but he. I mean, it was a really good. Like, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can tell that Remender was like, all right, off we go.
Okay, I've done my due diligence. I've done what the problem is, to me,
and a lot of people are actually really enjoying this miniseries as a whole, which I don't understand. But to me, if I had not read Venom before and was like, well, it's this big thing and they're doing it every week, I'm going to read it now, I would be like, nope, I'm not.
We're going to read it.
Yeah. So I think they missed the point a little bit. But this was, they wrapped it up nicely. I'm really excited for the next one.
Cool.
Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Age of Apocalypse number one. Thomas and Tyler read this. I read the point one thing, and I'm not interested.
It's a cool idea.
I'm really interested in getting to know the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Strike, like Prophet. It's a cool idea, like seeing like humanity, like because he's not a mutant at all in this universe, right?
Right.
Or so we think.
So he's he's AOE Wooden
Striker,
he's
anti-mutant, basically.
Right. So, I mean, but he's like using his human fortitude and intuition to like, to save what's left of humanity from these mutants. And it's a cool idea, but at the same time, I just don't care because none of them, I want to see Jean Grey and with like Phoenix Force or as a psychic of some in some capacity or something. I don't care about her. Like, well, my husband's bad now, and I don't have any powers, and well, I'm just like, I just don't care.
Yeah, the thing about this book that is gonna have to be a very like stick with it sort of thing is that these are all brand new characters. We don't really know anything about them. Even the Victor Creed and Jean Grey that we've seen, we only know them through X-Force.
Right.
And even then, it's very surface level. And actually, they may be from the 90s Age of Apocalypse cast.
Well, the Age of Apocalypse, they had, didn't, X-Men was Age of Apocalypse, right? Didn't they have powers back then?
This happens after the point one.
Yeah.
So that's when they lost their powers.
Right.
So, but I'm interested to get to know the human cast specifically because they are the brand spanking new. I don't really know. They're all traditionally villains.
Yeah.
I know that. They're all traditionally X-Men villains, but
Deadshot? Is Deadshot one of them? Or was that another book that I read?
Deadshot is
he's one of the vampire. No, he's Quickshot is one of the vampires. Yeah.
No, there was X-Men. There's a girl in there that shot really well. What was
Deadeye?
Deadeye.
Deadshot is from DC.
Yeah,
that's,
Deadshot's in
Suicide Squad.
Okay.
But I'm really interested to get to know the characters. I really like the book a lot. I'll definitely pick up number two. If by issue four I'm not really digging the characters and I'm not really digging the writing style, I'll drop it.
The thing about this book that the only thing that would have saved this book for me was it doesn't have any superstar creators on it, which I think it's missing. Like they should have gotten somebody really, really good to do the first like couple of issues so that it was like it found its ground really fast instead of getting like a guy I've never heard of.
You don't like Lapham?
I may be alone. I may be the only one, the guy that doesn't know who that is, but if they had gotten like a Bendis or a Remender or anybody really, like a I mean, who's any like a British?
Fraction?
Yeah, no, Gillen, British Gillen, or anybody like Joss Whedon.
No one's English in this, so Gillen can't write it.
I guess that's true. But it's not bad. I just don't care enough about it to read it anymore.
Well, and that's the thing is it's going to be an investment, and the idea is that I'm hoping I'm going to get a return on that investment.
Right, and I also feel like that I'm as much as I love the X-Men, I'm not invested as much in the X-Men universe as you are, and I feel like this would be a very interesting parallel if you were super into X-Men. So
right.
That may be something there too. But
I mean, I had a good time. Like I said, I'll give it four issues. If after four issues it's just not delivering, then cut it.
That's how I did the Defenders.
It is miniseries week here at Probably Comics, and
Worldwide headquarters.
I am still plugging away at Fear Itself, the Fearless, number 10 of 12.
It's almost over.
Almost over, but I'll say this to you guys. It just started getting good.
It only took them a whole summer event and 10 issues.
What is it? What is that? 5 months?
Yeah.
It was two a month?
Mm-hmm. It'll be six total. I don't know. It's cool now. I mean, like this was a great issue. The Avengers show up.
Yeah.
She gets pissed. Sin has all the hammers. Yeah. And
does she make a wish and Goku gets small again? I'm sorry.
Dragon Ball Z humor is not funny.
Sir, that's Dragon Ball GT.
Oh, excuse me.
That's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Oh god. Okay. No, but this was good. This was probably the best it's gotten. This and last issue were good. Just cuz Storm was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready for it to be finished. But I will enjoy the next two issues, I think. And yeah, just glad for it to be done.
Awesome.
Detective Comics, Batman, number 7.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of glad things are done.
I feel like every month you guys seem really disappointed in this book, and it makes me wonder why you continue to read it.
This is my last one.
You think so?
I'm done. I don't care. Like, it's just not.
Well, if it wasn't the Penguin.
It's God, just not. No, I mean, the Penguin could have been cool. Yeah. Like we could have done,
the point of the Penguin is that he'll never be cool.
I guess, but like, we could have done like Batman Returns Penguin and made him like super grungy and weird.
Yeah.
And instead, we got Tuxedo Penguin who runs a casino. Wah! And it's just like,
oh yeah, all the wah-wahs they write
were
wah-wah.
Absent from this book.
There was a couple.
Oh, were there really? I don't remember it.
Literally, I think there were two wah-wahs in one.
But the
speech bubble.
Like, it's just not like when you're writing a Batman story and you're not Scott Snyder and Scott Snyder's writing another one, stop it because you suck. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, the only other, like,
just
I mean,
quit it.
Yeah, like Jeff Lemire, please come write Batman Detective Comics because Tony S. Daniel is awful.
Tony S. sucks.
It's really not good. I mean, it's just not good. And you're right, Thomas. Like, it was, it started off super strong.
Oh, man.
It was my favorite. It was better than Batman to me for the first three issues. And then it just, like, he just was like, well, Dollmaker, how about Penguin? And I was just like, no, how about
back to Dollmaker?
Or the Joker without a face. Like, what? Where is that? It's just...
That was Dick Grayson dressed as the Joker. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah. It was silly. And I'm taking it off my pole. I'm done with it.
All right. Uncanny X-Men number 8 was badass.
It was good.
Yeah, it was...
And he explained Unwife.
Yeah. I really... I think one of my favorite moments is when he's like, do you have a term for the uncontrolled replication of cells?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we call it cancer.
Cyclops just looks down and it says ... cancer.
But yeah, I really dig Apex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really dig Apex. I've really liked this whole arc a lot. I like that Magneto is really into keeping it a secret. I also loved the whole thing about Namor getting with the tapeworm.
I was just about to say.
And the way it ends, his last interaction with Hope.
Redheads.
Like, redheads. Yuck.
Yeah. And his face, he's he's got troll face on hardcore. But then and then Hope makes that awful pun. He's like, if I called you the king of Atlantis, would you hold it against me? And he's like, yes, very much.
Yes, I would.
You're a child.
Yeah. I was going to say that Fearless had a really great panel, but that definitely gets panel of the week.
Yeah.
What did you do? She understands us. And more importantly, trust me, she knows we will help her. How? It is, as I said, Namor is fluent in a tongue that all understand.
Hell yeah. And then he's like, and then she's like, ooh, that's gross. And he's like, listen, bitch.
You have very unrefined taste.
Yeah, I'm the king of Atlantis. I have seen all there is to see.
Yeah.
She's beautiful in her own right. And it's oh God, it was so good. Gillen can write a Namor like nobody else can.
Yeah, as we were talking about, you know, we were talking about Namor from Defenders.
That's my favorite Namor.
Great Namor. Mm-hmm. Oh God, he's so good.
Gillen should write a Namor solo book.
Oh man.
Can we bring back Namor the Submariner as a solo book and have Gillen write it?
I don't think so.
Because it'd be awesome.
I don't think anybody would read it.
Yeah.
So next book?
Yeah, Wolverine number 302, gentlemen.
I don't know if I want to keep reading
Wolverine. I mean, I'm gonna read it as long as Aaron's writing it.
That was my plan too, but like I'm so very confused.
Well, when Mystique's involved, it's very easy.
That's true, but at the same time, there are characters that I feel like I should be like, oh, that guy, and I'm just like, so...
Hey, that guy!
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I want to finish it out because I like it. I just can't find anything to grab onto when I'm reading it, you know what I'm saying?
I liked the Wolverine thought he was back in hell
part. And then Berserker came out.
Yeah, that's his... It turns out that Wolverine's only psychic defense... is the Berserker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even when, like, even if he's being just, like, mind-numbed, he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah, which we'll talk more about later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
It's good. And it's Jason Aaron. He's so good. I just can't. Every time I read it, I'm just like, I can't get it. I can't grab
it.
I can't grab it.
It is a lot of Wolvie.
And it's they're long. All
yeah,
of them.
It's very.
I mean, 300 was super long, but these last two have been like they're long. They're 22 pages of almost full dialogue. It's like a prose piece.
Moving on to Superman Action Comics number 7. Welcome back, Superman. Welcome back.
Hey, guess what, guys? I know what happened in this book.
Yeah.
Grant Morrison's back, and it's good. And then, like, the thing is, though. At the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't understand what's going on again. But then it became clear.
Yeah, because then you were like, oh, yeah, 5 left off this way. Yeah. And 6 just, like, ripped my brain apart. And then this is like, oh, I totally remember what's going on.
It was awesome. And he got his new suit.
Yeah, I was about to say. So where did that... But he just sort of is wearing it, though. I mean, it's one of the Kryptonian suits,
yeah,
right?
It came from the small part of Krypton that the internet has.
Kandor.
Yeah, Kandor.
Kandor.
Well, but
Brainiac has got it.
Yeah, we realize that. Yeah, Brainiac is.
Oh yeah, before the words Brainiac were used in the book, I saw the little symbol.
Yeah,
and that's when I was like, I wonder.
Yeah,
is it?
But it's also. But Brainiac is also
the internet.
It's Metallo though, but Metallo is also part of.
Yeah.
or Metal Zero.
Yeah, there's it's like a collective of stuff.
Did you guys read the Steel story at the end?
I did.
Guess what?
You didn't.
Nope.
Oh yeah. Man, it was.
Well, you
it was
skipped
super
the
fun.
Last one, so I didn't. It was great. Actually, I was reading it, and
I just
I was
don't
like,
care.
I was like, Tyler won't be reading this.
It was
but that's
like,
okay.
It was like.
I like that it's called Meanwhile.
Here's all yeah. this. Here's all the Superman stuff that happened. What happened? What he wanted? And I'm like, it doesn't. I don't
no,
care at all.
But I do.
I do.
Yeah.
Why? It's is it
Sorry,
consequential
stretching.
To the story at all? I didn't read it. Am I gonna be lost?
No,
you're not gonna be
so
lost.
So I don't care.
Yeah,
it's not necessary. It's just a fun supplemental story.
I had to read 19.
Comics are work, don't you know?
I had to read
don't
19
you know,
books. I don't have time for all this meanwhile bullshit. I need new Troy is real small. Superman hit it with his elbow, got a new suit, and is still in the space station. That's all I need. I don't need like Steel. Then Steel was cool. He was down in the thing and do with a hammer.
With a hammer.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I think I'm the only one who read this.
Yeah.
X Club number
over?
4 of 5.
No.
There's one more. This one was basically Dr. Nemesis fighting Nazis, which was fun.
That's nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
it was good. Great. Nemesis is the shit.
What kind of storyline is this following from week yeah. from issue
it's
to
like,
issue?
I just, feel like there's new shit happening every
yeah.
time.
It's gone totally bonkers. It is the most out of control story ever, and it is so much fun. That, and I'm really starting to fall in love with Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really love Dr. Nemesis.
We
now.
Just saw him somewhere. Was it Astonishing X-Men?
Yes.
He was great in that, too.
But his just general attitude towards everything is really funny, and he still has the starfish on his head.
Yeah,
and they just it just became significant.
Is he super powered in any way, or is he just real smart?
He's just fucking super smart.
Just real smart. Okay.
Yeah.
But is he a mutant?
No.
Then why does he get to hang out with the X-Men?
Because
he's
smart. Very valuable. Yeah. So I mean, Kavita's not a mutant.
Oh yeah.
And she's there.
Neither
but she's
is,
just friends with them
Brew.
All. Moira McTaggart, not a mutant. Super cool with all the mutants though.
Yeah. Brew, yeah, ain't, that Brew ain't no mutant.
I really am digging this. I thought the first couple issues were meh, and then like 3 and 4 have just been like nuts.
Great.
And it's been really fun. I'll let you guys have a lend at it so you can
yeah.
kind of see what's been going on.
Yeah.
But I've hopefully issue 5 holds up, but it's been super fun. It's
cool.
been a great
I
mini.
Think isn't it like and isn't it is it consequential to anything, or is it like Magneto Not a Hero where it's just like this happened too?
We'll have to see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's going to be a self-contained story.
Boy, there were a lot of miniseries this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a ton. Wolverine and the X-Men, Alpha and Omega, 305, or 3 of 5.
Mm-hmm. It's really
was good. So cool.
Still
it's
awesome.
Really good.
Yeah.
It's such a great concept, and like the way that this guy is writing Kid Omega, who is it?
It's Brian Wood.
Is Brian Wood. Wood.
I mean, who is apparently returning from a long hiatus from comic books.
Hiatus.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And he's writing this and Conan
Wasn't
the Barbarian.
He writing like a TV show or something?
He writes prose mostly.
Oh. Anyway, it's like it's such a cool concept, like that Quentin Quire, in order to like prove to everyone that he's the best psychic of all time, creates the construct and he puts Wolverine and armor.
Hisako.
I don't know what her is her name Hisako?
Yeah, armor, but yeah, Hisako Ikiji.
And they don't know they're starting to piece it together, I guess, is what's going on. And Berserker is after Quentin Quire
in
the real world, and he's freaking scared, so he like hides and puts himself in his own construct because it's gotten away from him while he was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's gone completely out of control.
Yeah, and so he's like a general in there.
Yeah, he's
He's the guy in charge of the operation.
He's the big boss, right? He's the one they're going because now they're going to go see him.
Yeah,
they've decided we're gonna stop running and we're gonna turn around and we're gonna take the fight to him. We're gonna figure out who the hell this guy is.
Yeah,
and which is great.
They're still trying to figure out who they are,
why they
and
have
why
powers.
They're there.
Yeah,
and why they have powers and why they're not surprised by them.
Yeah, that was the big one. Was he was like,
he's
I
like,
got
oh,
claws.
Yeah. And these
check him out.
He's like, it doesn't bother me. He's like, it's not weird. For some reason,
yeah, it's been really good. It's a fun little romp.
But yeah, great stuff.
Good stuff.
And Rachel Gray is gonna come up on Berserker next week.
Oh yeah.
Animal Man number 7.
Still
continually great stuff. Yeah,
it's good. I panicked because in my mind I remembered someone is leaving Animal Man. Is it Jeff Lemire? And freaked out. And then I remembered it's the artist.
Travel Foreman. Which is really sad.
I flipped out. But yeah, it is sad because the other guy not doing so great. Like his little girl is super creepy. And like that one, she makes a face like this at one point. Like, and it's like super creepy.
Yeah.
Well, and he's a former Animal Man artist, actually, when Grant Morrison did the book.
Well, okay.
Which is why they gave it to him if Trevor Foreman was going to leave
the title. But it's a huge departure from
absolutely.
The tone of the of Trevor Foreman's Animal mm-hmm. Man. And it's sad that Trevor Foreman can't stay on to see through the first arc.
At least this arc.
Or at least the crossover.
Yeah, and because I think that's where this arc
Do
is
we
going,
have a date for that?
No, but it's got to be coming soon.
It'll be this autumn.
Yeah.
What? It's like August, September.
Well, because it's all going to be like, we got like four or five more issues of build up, like the rot.
I mean, remember, a lot of this was in the future.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's
true. Also love Socks.
Socks. Yeah, Socks.
Still
is
love
great.
Socks.
And I loved Buddy swooping in and helping his son impress some ladies.
Oh, man.
That was great? Did you see it on Reddit?
Thanks,
someone
Dad.
Someone put those two pages up and it said Animal Man, best dad ever.
Yeah, like the thing about Animal Man is that for so long until this week when we actually got some real like some solid plot movement in Swamp Thing that I really enjoyed. Animal Man has been more about him as a father.
He's a family man.
Yeah, than it has been about him being Animal Man. And Alec Holland has just been like, well, come on, let's be Swamp Thing. You know, like that's kind of where that's been going. But it's been this great family dynamic. Like, well, I got kids and I got to save my children. And
yeah,
I
the whole thing's
my
happened.
My mother-in-law
in an RV.
Hates me real bad, and we're all in an RV together. And I just want to like, get some food and be safe.
And then Cliff buys nothing but junk food.
Yeah, of course. And then he calls his little sister a butt lick, and I was like, yeah, that's harsh.
Nice. What's a fuck ass?
4 years old, butt lick? Jeez.
All right. Last and...
Certainly not least.
And most. Last and most.
Yeah. I have been looking forward to this book.
For a while.
For so long.
I didn't know it was happening till this
week.
Oh, man.
It's been talked about and stuff on to interwebs.
Oh, I'm
and
not
you
a,
know
I don't,
why.
I don't use that.
And it's because it's a Jonathan Hickman creator-owned book. And it's... I've seen like preview art and stuff for it like months ago.
How good is the?
And it finally came out. It finally came out. And have we said what we're talking
we're
about?
We're talking about Manhattan Project's number one, which is from Image.
And Jonathan Hickman.
Yes.
And who's the artist? Nick.
Second greatest.
After.
It is written by Jonathan Hickman and drawn by Nick Patara. Patara?
Nick, you're a good guy.
If anybody, I feel so bad for people in general because they cannot buy this book. You can't buy it. Like there were three at our comic book shop. And we got two of them.
I got the last one on the shelf. Yeah.
We all have a copy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the
we
last
got
one
all
on the
of them.
First print.
We got every copy that our comic book store. Our comic book store got three, so it's impossible to find. It's sold out everywhere. You cannot buy it online. They're gonna have to go back and do a second print.
Yeah,
and we get the first print.
So here's the general premise for those of you who may or may not know about this book. Manhattan Projects is about what if the Manhattan Project were a front for a series of other weird experiments to try to say get like. Create artificial intelligence using magnetic tape and vacuum tubes, or which I loved that when he's looking through the floor. And then they're getting ancient weapons from magical times by mining. What do they call it?
I don't remember.
It's like some type of fakes. It's like a interdimensional space, basically.
Yeah.
The concept is that if you can imagine it,
we can.
We're going to be able to.
But the thing that's
it.
So great about it is it's the late 30s.
It's the 40s.
They actually already talk about. They talk about. Pearl Harbor having happened.
Oh yeah,
so this
that's
is
true.
Post Pearl Harbor.
That's true.
We entered in 41.
Right.
It's the goddamn Japanese.
Actually,
early
at the 30, beginning,
early
it says
40s.
I think at the beginning it says it takes place in either 41 or 42.
Okay, so late early 40s, which like a book about science and technology in the early 40s already cool because they're not working with anything worth a shit.
Mm-hmm.
They've got vacuum tubes to do
and
artificial
tape
intelligence
machines.
And it's working.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then Einstein is locked in
the
basement.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to figure out what's going to happen
but
with
why?
Einstein.
He's staring at some kind of a big monolithic thing and we don't know why.
He'll get out when I'm damn ready for him to get out.
And he's just staring at it and then he smiles a little bit, and then that's it. And then I was like,
"Well, you know
he
knows.
He's
you know he knows.
He's in all of five panels of the book.
Yeah, but he's
and
there.
And he's there. And that's the whole thing is like, but he's
but
there.
What else was cool?
Let's talk about our protagonist.
The
a little
plot
bit.
Point of the book is that it's quote Robert Oppenheimer, but really it's his evil twin brother that killed him and ate him.
Yeah,
but ate his soul.
Well, ate him, well, so, ate that, him he could
so that
his
he
soul.
Would know his soul.
He yeah. became the dichotomy. He right. became the whole world.
Which is, like, it's so interesting to me that, like, you would choose Robert Oppenheimer to be the split between good and evil. Mm-hmm. Like, of all the people. Does, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, really, because I guess, I'm going to imagine Robert Oppenheimer in this book being the blue part would probably not have agreed to creating the nuclear bomb. Because he wouldn't want to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because that's not really his thing.
But yeah, and then but before you figure out that that's what happened, you get these all these little glimpses of, is it Joseph?
Joseph,
yeah.
You get all these little glimpses of, like, Joseph coming out of Robert because he's like, well, don't touch, and then, like destroys the robot or whatever.
Well, and I love the backstory being juxtaposed where you have the blue on top and yeah. then under it is a series of parallel panels that are all red. And
that are Link basically the same.
Well, yeah, Link and I was asking Link, I was like, how did you read this? Did you read it across and then read it across? And it flows perfectly just because I had to find out. You can read it up, down, up, yep. down, up, down, and you can read the panels side by side, and it still makes perfect sense.
I did the same thing. I was like, oh, man, I wonder if I can read it.
Because Jonathan Hickman is brilliant.
I know. You guys got to read the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going back and getting some trades.
Fantastic Four, this current Fantastic Four is almost over, so really you can start back in, like, two issues. But
I think my favorite line from this is when he talks about when he kills the animals and eats them, and then when he kills Joseph and eats them, the line is always, or Robert, the line is always, and why wouldn't he?
He loved him.
Yeah. Like, it's like, whoa, that's so fucking warped.
Dude, Jonathan Hickman, he's like, I mean, he is top. He's top. Like, he's up there. He's my favorite writer in comics right now. Most people, I mean, you guys will probably disagree because Remender is really good too, mm-hmm. and he's up there. Like, he's able to bring all these parallel stories together and weave them, like, mm-hmm. almost secretly weave them, so you're not really sure that it's happening, but you know what's happening. It's really good. It was my favorite book this week, probably my favorite book of, I mean, my favorite book of the last of this year, easily. Mm-hmm. If you can buy it digitally on Comixology, and
do it.
You can also buy every creator-owned book he's ever done as a digital pack on there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much is that?
$30, but that's, there's a lot of content in there. The only problem is it's digital.
Yeah, but still, for $30, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's got the nightly news and all his creator owned stuff.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to Probably Comics in our weekly segment, What's in the Box?
What's in the Box?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at UncannyTom. That's T-H-O-M.
And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at D-T Mills.
Me, Twitter, link Z2.
And if you want to follow the show on Twitter, which I'm not sure why, because we never say anything, is at Probably Comics. Or you can check us out at facebook.com/probablycomics. Hit the like button. You'll probably see, like, a thing about YouTube on our feed.
Yeah, even less than the Twitter is the Facebook.
This podcast is officially brought to you by Kingdom Come, Smith State Hills, Alabama.
Thanks, Dan.
Albert.
Why don't you whisper?
Jason. Because I'm different.
Sandra.
The crazy Namor lady.